Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
With the smell of corned beef in the halls and St. Patrick's Day, we have an old Celtic prayer. There's a phrase, the keep of the castle. It means the strongest portion of the fortification of a castle, the place of last resort in case of siege or attack. So with that, if you pray, please pray with me. Humble carpenter, you taught us what is impossible with man is possible with God. So the Celts prayed, as the bridegroom to his chosen, as the king unto his realm, as the keep unto the castle, as the pilot to the helm, so, Lord, you are to me. As the fountain in the garden, as the candle in the dark, as the treasure in the strong box, as the manna in the ark, so, Lord, are you to me. As the music at the banquet, as the stamp unto the seal, as the medicine to the fainting, as the wine cup at the meal, so, Lord, are you to me. As the ruby in the setting, as the honey in the comb, as the light within the lantern, as the father in the home, so, Lord, are you to me. I humbly pray in your name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll. Senator Weber, do you... thank you.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
The quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Senator Howard.
Yes, Mr. President, I have like to be off and out for the purpose of an introduction.
Senator Howard.
It must be Howard Family Day, our family week. Up in the balcony on your right, I'd like you to stand as my youngest daughter, Ariana Hago. And then over to the left, you see Brian, who's standing. And Elias, would you stand up? And then you have Colin, and his nickname is Captain because he thinks he's in charge. And then my wife, Carla, I introduced her yesterday, but today is our 48th wedding anniversary. Thank you.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Sweeney.
Could I be out of the record and off, or out of the journal and off the record?
Senator Sweeney.
It's basketball time again. I'm going to do this every Wednesday, so if you would give me a toss, Mr. President. Good one. Good. I heard last week that we did very, very well, and if a lot of you don't know that the game's been canceled, as Senator Hurst broke the news to me last week. We're going to pass this around. I'm going to start it off here. The winner of this game is determined by how much money at the end goes into this basketball. So with that, I'm going to ask a couple more things. And then Senator Shannon O'Brien and I are going to do something. But first, I'm going to have everybody who represents the basketball championships in Class C to stand up. Scobie, Fort Benton. Class C. Class B is Lodge Grass. Sweet Grass. Billing Central, Class A. Haver in a double overtime. Billing Central, boys. And Helena Capital Girls. Billing's Skyview, boys. And Helena Capital. So it's basketball season. It's St. Patrick's Day, and now as the basketball is getting passed around, you'll be serenaded. I'm going to start off with a line. Thank you, guys. You can sit down. Or come on over and join me. A line from the Irish National Anthem. We had a great flag raising out there today, and I'll just sing, soldiers are we, whose lives are pledged to Ireland. Some have come from the land beyond the wave, sworn to be free. No more our ancient Ireland shall shelter the despot or the slave. Tonight we man the barn of bale, in Erin's cause come woe or wail. Mid cannon's roar and rifles' peal, we'll chant a soldier's song. Wow. Shannon O'Brien.
If you know, sing along. Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountain side. The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. Tis you, must go and I must bide.
Senator Hertz.
Members of, may I be off the record and out of the journal? I promise I will not sing. So, my Irish friends, I just need, I'm married to a wonderful Irish gal, you know, and actually she's probably related to the fine gentleman on the horse out there. And, but one thing I like to partake in occasionally is a little bit of whiskey. And it's rumored, but I think it's really a fact that the Irish monks actually went over to the Mediterranean and they learned how to make whiskey in about the 11th century, and they came back to Ireland, and that's kind of the origins of Irish whiskey. But I'm more of Scottish descent, the majority, and the Scottish actually do a fine job in making whiskey also. And when it comes to whiskey, and you all know I'm a grocer too, so there was a young 16-year-old by the name of Johnny Walker. He started a grocery store in Scotland. And we all know Johnny Walker is a good blended whiskey. But you probably really don't know the backstory of this young 16-year-old grocer, and that's kind of where I get my origins. But he made his whiskey in a barrel. So before the days when we had people stomping down on our rights and food freedom, you know, we got to bring that back. But people would come into the grocery store with their whiskey they made at home. And Johnny Walker would allow them to dump it in the barrel, and then he would sell blended whiskey. But then he kind of got into it also as to making a better blended whiskey, a little softer, a little milder than the single malts. But I would hope everybody would partake tonight and sample a little whiskey. There may be some roaming around here. And there's also some whiskey in the area that represents the Old West. And so I've got some of that available. And if you'd like to try some Old West whiskey, we can get you that too. So happy St. Paddy's Day.
Senator Ankeny.
Mr. President, if I may rise on a point of personal privilege.
Senator Ankeny.
It gives me great pleasure and an honor to introduce Miss Teen Montana. Katie Took is a sophomore from Carter County High School in Ekalaka and formerly from Forsyth, where when she was a much younger girl, she actually helped me campaign. And she always had a bag of cookies with her when we went campaigning. I very seldom ever got to give them to a potential voter because I ate them all. She is very active, not only in her duties as Miss Montana, Teen USA 2021, but is also involved in varsity volleyball, track, FCCLA, and FFA. As Katie's reign continues, she aspires to teach elementary students early life skills. Growing up, she has always had an interest in political science, which I can attest to. She knew more about what was going on than I did, which helped campaigning. And the medical field. She feels very honored to have been able to spend a day in this wonderful building and meet up with people and see what goes on behind the scenes. Katie is accompanied by an old friend, her dad, Ryan Took. I'd like to thank you very much, Katie, for honoring us with your presence. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the Senate. Without objection, we'll go to our business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed on agriculture, livestock, and irrigation. Report that House Bill 396 and House Joint Resolution 17 be concurred in, and that House Bill 318 be concurred in as amended. Senator Mike Langer, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on business, labor, and economic affairs. Report that House Bill 139 be concurred in, and that House Bill 139, 217, 226, 157, 446, and 548 be concurred in. Senator C. Fitzpatrick, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on fish and game. Report that House Bills 242 and 305 be concurred in. Senator C. Heinbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on highways and transportation. Report that Senate Bill 285 do pass, and that House Bill 207 and 383 be concurred in. Senator Gordon Vance, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on judiciary. Report that Senate Bill 333 do pass as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted.
That is all, Mr. President.
Okay. Without objection, we'll go to our business number four, messages from the governor.
Dear President Blaisdell, on Tuesday, March 16, 2021, I signed the following bills. Senate Bill 15 Ellis, Senate Bill 140 Regeer. The bills have been delivered to the Secretary of State's office. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this day. Read three several times and passed title and history agreed to, and they are transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 191 Hopkins, House Bill 397 Kastmeyer. That Senate amendments to the following House bills were concurred in on third reading. House Bill 53 Hamilton, House Bill 65 Moore, House Bill 117 Rickey. That the following Senate bills were on this day were three several times concurred in title and history agreed to, and their hearings returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 75 Solomon, Senate Bill 82 Fitzpatrick, Senate Bill 93 Vance, Senate Bill 126 Regeer, Senate Bill 127 Trudell. That the following Senate bills were on this day were three several times concurred in as amended, title and history agreed to, and their hearings returned to the Senate for concurrence in House amendments. Senate Bill 39 Regeer. Sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bills 377 through 385, Senate Resolution 93, House Bill 191 and 397 have been introduced, read first time and referred to committee. House Bill 334 has been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of bills on business on second reading.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now before you for your consideration, House Bill 252. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 252, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing an employer tax credit for trades, education, and training expenses, providing that the credit be taken against individual income tax and corporate income tax liabilities, providing rulemaking authority, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date, retroactive applicability date, and a termination date.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
I got to figure it out. Lost my sheet. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 252. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 252 that recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, today I bring before you Trade Education and Training Act. It's part of the Montana Comeback Plan put forth by Governor Gianforte. A couple of highlights of it. It provides trade credits for education and training of individuals who work in various trades. Montana needs trade professionals with the best training and education. It increases the proficiency of the current trade workers. It removes barriers to pursuing good-paying jobs. There is a current shortage of trades workers. Mr. Chairman, the bill establishes an employer tax credit for trades education and training expenses. The credits may be taken against an individual income tax and corporate income tax liabilities. An employer taxpayer, and hence employer, these people that they want to train more must be employed by the employer. They're allowed a credit against a tax imposed for expenses incurred in the provision of certain education and training of employees for a trade profession who work for at least 6 months in Montana. So you must work at least 6 months after this training. A credit is equal to 50% of the qualified education and training expenses incurred by an employer for the benefit of that employee, not to exceed $2,000 per employee annually. So basically, the employer can put forth $4,000, that's the cap, and the employee can get the training, get the education, and the employer can get half of that, or a $2,000 tax credit. If they put forth $3,000, it would be a $1,500 tax credit. The credit allowed may not be claimed if the employer has included education and training expenses as a deduction when computing the taxes that they're owed. In other words, you can't double dip. And if the expenses incurred are paid for by a grant, you can't put those forth. There are 29 areas that we've identified a shortage of workers. We asked the Department of Commerce to do that, Department of Labor. If you look on page 3, starting in the middle to the middle of page 4, you can see those 29 areas, and these are the workers that could utilize this, the education and the training. One other part, tax credit subject to review by an interim committee. They amended that over and moved it to the interim in 20, I believe it is July 1st, 2025. The reason is there is a sunset on this of December 31st, 2026, and they want it to be studied and see if it works. With the fiscal note, there is a $1 billion fiscal note. It is in the governor's executive budget, and I believe it is in House Bill 2. So that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the bill? Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'd like to point out earlier today in a meeting in one of our Senate Finance and Claims discussions regarding federal money coming in and different kinds of plans, and there was a discussion on workforce, the need for workforce development, and specifically one of our presenters talked exactly about this kind of a program and the need for it in Montana, and I believe it's well worth a green light. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Molnar.
Mr. Chairman, one of these days my seatmate's going to put a thumbtack here because we don't agree on everything. And so it goes with House Bill 252. Mr. Chairman, does the sponsor yield?
Senator Solomon, do you yield?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Solomon, I'm going down the list here. And apparently, from what you just said, the Department of Labor said there's a shortage of people to do this line of work. Is that correct?
Yes.
On the page 4, line 5, oil and gas workers, that one really surprised me. Ever since the Bakken went on slow time, on the Montana side, last time I looked a couple months ago, there was one oil well still working. Everybody I know in my county that worked in the Bakken hasn't worked in over a year. So if we train more oil field workers, instead of having 5,000 unemployed, we'd have 5,002 unemployed. Where did they get this number?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, number one, you have to be employed to be eligible for this. Number two, have you seen the price of oil lately or the price of gas? It's going to come back. But there's a lot of skill sets that can be utilized in the Marauder areas, and that's what they're looking for when we had the departments identify areas that they think there is a shortage of skilled workers and the opportunity to utilize education to get these workers better skilled and a better chance for better employment, make more money.
Further education. Further question?
Senator Solomon, continue.
You bet.
Senator Molnar.
Before this bill was conceived, how did Halliburton train their oil field workers?
Mr. Chairman, I have no idea.
I do.
Senator Molnar?
Well, I do.
Oh, no, I'm... Would you like the sponsor to continue to yield, or...
Well, I wish that he would continue to yield, Mr.
Senator
Chairman.
Solomon, yes, to continue to yield. Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Solomon, I'm going down through the list here. We have boilermakers, terrazzo guys, construction laborers, and helpers. I'm a member of 1686. I'm a laborer, certified in many, many things. The cooperators, which are the companies that use people with my skills, pay for our training. This bill says that they can get credit for putting their money in. If they're going to put in $25,000 last year, $25,000 the year before, and $25,000 this year anyway, why would I give them $25,000 back to the tune of $1 million on this bill? Because that goes across these trades.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Molnar, it's very simple. It's an opportunity for these businesses to train workers. Now, if they do that beforehand, good for them. There's a lot of businesses that don't. I have letters from 37 different companies that said that that would be the greatest thing in the world. We want skilled workers. We can't find them. So there's a lot of jobs out there. They cannot find people to do. And these companies want not only workers, they want skilled workers. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Solomon.
Senator Solomon, do you continue to yield?
Yes.
Senator Solomon, I understand that. My question is, we're incentivizing companies to do what they already do and have already done. How am I wrong in assuming that when boilermakers, construction equipment operators, laborers, electricians, machinists, etc., long list, are already, these people are putting the money in, but now we're going to give them some money back. It's already happening. Are we not incentivizing them to do what they're already doing and taking $1 million from other people and giving it to them with absolutely no net benefit in these trades?
Mr. Chairman, there's a tremendous net benefit. I just showed you this list of all these companies that cannot find workers. They cannot find enough skilled workers. The intent of what we're doing is for folks to be hired, trained, and educated so they can become skilled workers. That benefits Montana's economy in a huge way. That benefits the quality of life of every one of these skilled workers. And that money will turn over inside Montana's economy a number of times, all of which are benefiting not only the state of Montana, these workers, but also the Montana economy, which lives on a little bit of income tax, which is going to hopefully expand. Mr. Chairman.
Final question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Solomon, do you continue to yield?
Yes, I do.
Senator Molnar.
Last page, Senator Solomon, page 7, line 1. This is existing law, but we're applying it to this bill. That we will study to the extent the tax credits benefited some taxpayers at the expense of other taxpayers. Don't you think we should know the damage we're going to do before we do it,
as opposed to
waiting 5 years to determine how bad it was?
Mr. Chairman, can you say that again? I missed the number, the line.
I would, but my mom's calling. I got it. No.
Senator Mullen.
Page 7, line 1. This is existing law. We do this. But now we're applying it to this bill. To what extent, we're going to study the extent to which these tax credits benefit some taxpayers at the expense of other taxpayers. I'll give you an example, and if you could answer. It says in here carpet layers. I'm not aware there's a shortage of carpet layers. So whoever put this in there knows that if they just simply take the receipts they normally spend in training people to work for their company, they get a $25,000 tax break, up to $25,000. The guy across the street doesn't have a lobbyist to tell him this is in there. He's not going to get the $25,000 tax break. He's just going to train his people the way he has in the past. That gives a definite advantage to the first carpet layer, also small business. We know it's going to do damage. It gives a competitive one up. A, do we have to study it? And B, shouldn't we know the damage we're going to do before we pass the bill, as opposed to waiting 5 years to try and quantify it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, these are interim studies. Well, that part of the bill is interim studies that started in 2019 or every biennium. Those are the things that have already been put in law that they're going to study, so we have answers. And you can't get an answer if you don't do the program. So they're going to get the answer before the program is sunsetted, so we know whether it works or not. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'll address the bill.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a lot simpler than this, than what we just heard. In my career in the legislature, which now is on year 9, I have voted for every training program, funding for vocational, etc. This doesn't do that. In almost every trade, the cooperator gets a tax credit for what he's already doing and is obligated to do. Yes, we get a headline. That's all we get for the vast majority of this. Do we pick winners and losers? Very short list of occupations. There's a lot of occupations. Do employers normally train their own people? Yes, they do. So the question becomes, is this the best we can do? The governor has said he wants a training program. This goes into a short list, many of which have a high rate of unemployment. You want a Boilermaker? He's got them. You want a laborer? 1686 has them. They're unemployed. I don't know where they come up with the idea that this list is those that are screaming for laborers, screaming for boiler makers, screaming for sheetrockers. Sheetrockers are screaming for work. It's very different. So we don't have to study what the damage will be. It'll be $1 million. We don't have to study what the benefit will be. We'll get the same number of people trained as we always get trained. But it'll cost $1 million. So I don't know that I can change anybody's mind on this. I think it'll probably pass, but what I'd rather see happen is we kill it on second, move to reconsider, and send it to a committee that will take a look at this. Not have lobbyists choose winners and losers. Have us come up with a plan that works. If we're going to spend $1 million, let's get $1 million worth of positive impact.
Senator McGovern.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do have one question for the sponsor.
Senator Solomon, do you yield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Senator McGovern.
Senator Solomon, are you aware of how many tax credits the state of Montana offers?
I am not.
Can I refer that? Senator Hertz.
Senator Hertz, do you yield?
I do.
Senator Hertz, I'm assuming you know the answer to this question.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. President, Senator, I don't have the exact number, but I believe it's in the maybe 35 to 40 range. You might have the number. I have a bill that's coming by and is going to eliminate a good majority of those.
Senator McGovern.
Thank you, Senator. I suggest you vote no on this bill and you'll eliminate one more. Let me just read some of them to you. Other states income tax credit, college tax credit, qualified endowment tax credit, energy conservation tax credit, alternative fuel tax credit, insurance and uninsured Montana's tax credit, elderly care tax credit, recycling tax credit, innovation education credit, student scholarship organization credit, biodiesel blending storage tank credit, non-refundable but with carryover. Contractors grocery receipt tax credit, geothermal tax credit, alternative energy systems credit, biomass tax credit, alternative energy production tax credits, development care assistant credit, historic property preservation tax credit, infrastructure tax credit, employment zone credit, research alternative tax credit, adoption credit, refundable credits. Those are elderly homeowners credit. Emergency lodging credit, unlocking state lands credit. That's we're hitting 30 now. I'll spare you more. We just passed one the other day. So we get another tax credit. Now, Montana already has the most complicated tax in the nation, if not the most. It's got to be up there. I spared you reading three pages of deductions that you can take. That's why we pay accountants so much money, because things are so complex. Good tax policy should be fair and simple. This is not simple, and this is not fair. It's complex, and it makes it even more complex. What this is when the lobbyist A finds the legislator B to implement a program to take advantage of a constituent C. And that's what it's doing. If I went down the street today in my neighborhood and said, hey, would you be interested in forking up $100 for a credit for trading or training union workers or training trade workers? I bet I'd get 100 no's out of 100 houses. They'd look at me like I was living on a foreign planet. But yet we come up into a body like this and we think this is a great idea. Find a constituent who thinks this is a great idea, other than someone who wants to train somebody for free. This is a statist, big government policy. If you're a Republican, how can you vote for something like this? Just because the floor below wants it doesn't mean that's a good vote. This creates free riding. We don't have to study what free riding is all about. Anybody who's studied economics knows about free riding. The good senator from Laurel already pointed it out. People who are training people, paying for it, now we'll do it for free. We didn't incentivize nothing. All we incentivized was to take advantage of some other taxpayer that's a poor sucker that didn't have a good lobbyist up here. That's what we've done. This bill picks winners and losers, as the good senator already pointed out. I won't go into it. Let me just look at the list. The list is not comprehensive. We missed somebody. Somebody missed somebody. I see the loggers on page 4, line 1. They got in the game quick enough to realize that, hey, wait a minute, you forgot about us. So the loggers have a good lobbyist up here, so they got in the game. Looks like the truckers were left out initially. They found a good lobbyist, and they got in the game. Looks like the well drillers got left out too, so they had a good lobbyist, and they got in the game. This is about how good your lobbyist is. This is shameful tax policy. You know, I could go on and on and on. Why didn't the fishing and hunting guys get in the bill? They probably have to train their wranglers. The miners aren't in here. They probably have to train lots of miners. And for professionals, I guess professionals always get left out in the cold. When I was a financial advisor for nearly 30 years, not one government program came to rescue me. When my income went down $100,000 in a year, nobody came out and said, hey, Tom, really sorry about that. And where was NAFA? National Association of Insurance and Financial. I guess I should get a different lobbyist, because they didn't help me a bit. My point is that this is a bill that just expands government. And let me ask this to the Republican caucus. We always say that individuals should not be stuck on government programs and become perpetual dependents of the state. We are always saying that. We always resist more welfare, bigger government. But when it comes to corporate cronyism, we're all for it. When it comes to helping our buddies that are training people and having businesses out there, we're all for corporate cronyism. We're all for dependence. So a vote for this bill is simply creating government dependence in the business world. How can we be consistent? We vote for this and then vote against welfare for individuals on the street. This is a bad bill. I'm not wearing green today because I have nothing to say about this bill that would say green. It's all red on me. And you need to go red. Otherwise, your constituents are going to be in the red to pay for it. Vote red on this.
Senator Hertz.
Members of the committee, I think we're kind of getting a little bit off the bill here. I'm not a big fan of tax credits. That's why I'm bringing a bill to eliminate a number of them. But tax credits are designed to incentivize people, change behavior. It should be short term. You look down this list, find Senator from Billings talked about sheetrockers. The last time you had a little remodel job in your house, find a sheetrocker, electrician, painter, plumber. Building new houses takes a while. That's what this bill's about. This bill is not about just providing a credit for a certain list of individuals. I train a lot of my own employees, particularly meat cutters. And my other employees spend a lot of time with them, training them. If you have meat cutters in here, I can qualify. Because you need to read the bill. So if you go to page 3, lines 8 through 10, you need to use a qualified training method. My employees training another employee is not a qualified training method. You either need to take your employee to a classroom education or training in which the employee travels to the educator, or you need to bring that educator into your business and they train your employee there. So this is designed to get these people, employees, trained faster, getting them up on the job. The other option is to send those employees to a two-year school. They're not earning money. They're going to school. They're encouraging possible debt and paying tuition. So I think this is a really good bill. And you might look at some welders or something. Well, a lot of our two-year schools don't have the welding facilities there. So what are we going to do? We're going to buy a bunch of infrastructure to train welders? Well, we got an employer who's got all the welding facilities, and he can bring in tradespeople. Might be some union trainers or something who are going to help out too. They can come in there. They can help train. He's got the equipment. And we've got some great employee training here. This is a good bill. It's a short-term bill. It expires. We continue to look at tax credits through the interim. I'm willing to give this particular tax credit, you know, a little bit of encouragement here, and let's see if this can help us get out of a little bit of a hole we're in here right now. We need some construction workers. We need to get them done fast. So, good bill, vote green.
Senator Gillespie.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this is short and sweet. I don't see any ag positions on there. I'm voting red.
Ready for Senator Howard?
I wasn't going to get up, but I can tell you that I think the senators in front of me is right. This picks winners and losers. Let me tell you a real experience that's taking place in my district. We had a big truck stop with a big restaurant, and they had to rebuild it and do away with the restaurant because they couldn't find employees to come work. Not 100 yards from this restaurant is Section 8 housing that's full. And everybody's healthy. And they won't work there because they'd have to take a deduction in pay. We got a lot of things that are upside down in this state. This is not going to help. I spent my life, before I was drafted in the Army, in the water well drilling business. You don't learn how to be a water well drilling person in a classroom. You might learn how to rudimentary of welding, but it's funny, I learned how to weld on the rig. I can tell you this is picking winners and losers, and it's not part of what we should be doing. That's my personal opinion. Vote no.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Solomon, would you like to close?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would. Several things keep coming up, and I keep going back to the name of the bill, trades education. This is not for everybody. This is about trades education and training. My seatmate brings up, well, there's people that don't want to work. This gives them the opportunity with trades education and training. That's what this is about. It's about allowing people in Montana to get a better chance at having a great skill set and an opportunity to have a better life for themselves. The money is going to flow through the Montana economy if you have a job and are trained and are enjoying your life. There's $1 million in the governor's budget. That's how much he wants to see if this will work. Again, the governor's, the idea is the Montana comeback, and that means we want to get the economy going. There's a tremendous shortage of these jobs. That's why they're on the list. And my next seatmate talked about ag jobs. They're ag jobs, but they're not on the list. There's not a shortage of people who want to work. So, Mr. Chairman, it's a great bill. I encourage agreeing. Thank you.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon. This committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 252. It recommends the same do pass. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 28 senators vote aye and 22 senators vote nay.
28 senators haven't voted aye and 22 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 252 has passed the second reading. I'll appoint Senator McGilvery, Chairman of the Day.
Members of the committee, please be in order. You now before you, House Bill 36. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 36, introduced by Stuart Peregoy, a bill for an act entitled NAC establishing the Missing Persons Response Team Training Grant Program, creating the Missing Persons Response Team Training Grant Program account, providing a fund transfer and appropriation, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 36. Senator Weber, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 36, that it recommend that the same do concur in.
Senator Weber.
Mr. Chair, committee, I bring to you today House Bill 36, which was by request of the State Tribal Relations Committee, and basically it establishes a training grant program for response teams and missing persons. Let's see, I'll just go through the bill. Okay, the new section one, it just has, it will be administered by the Department of Justice. It'll provide funds for community-based missing persons response teams that will include multi-agency and multi-jurisdictional agencies, and it will establish eligible teams shall establish memorandums of understanding, develop operational procedures, and participate in community action planning. One of the things that came up during the State Tribal Relations Interim Committee was that one of the incidences was the young Crow lady that was come up missing by a rest area, and the family got involved because they weren't getting any response from the policing or the jurisdictional agencies, and they trampled on all the evidence, and so they did, and she wasn't found very far from there, but because there were so many people there that they covered up the evidence. And the interim committee said that we needed someone that would take control of these so that we can work with it. Let's see. Yeah. These response teams will coordinate the efforts. And a lot of times it's the families that look for the missing person. And so they don't have any of the training. You know, the trainers are the police officers, the FBI, all of those agencies. So that's where this came out of, was just a training program, and it will have, I believe it will have, it'll include it'll be based on the best practices including incident command considerations. They are establishing five teams of six members that will train communities, especially on reservations and in urban areas. That was one of the questions I had during the committee hearing. What about the urban areas? There's several. One young lady from Salish Kootenai is still missing. She was walking across, I believe it was Russell Street Bridge in Missoula, and just disappeared. What do we do about that? And they covered that. They said, yes, these response teams will cover urban areas and train people for those there. With that, I sit and I'll wait for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
It's discussion on the bill. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm gonna vote for this and the next two bills. I'm really speaking on behalf of these three bills. You all know how I feel about it. I've spoke about it before. I believe it's one of the most important things we can do. Is anytime we can, you know, find one of these missing kids. I believe it's really an important issue that we have, and I believe that through this we're going to find that the issues that are causing these kids and people to go missing are going to be the same issues that are causing other children in our communities to go missing. I don't believe the boundaries of the reservation are the cause of this. I believe it's certain issues within the family, whether it be broken families, drug and alcohol abuse, or whatever. But the one thing that I do want to say, and it is, you can take it as my mandate, my challenge, my request. Last session, I remember, you know, we talked about some of this stuff, and we hear, well, we can't get the county police to cooperate with the state police. We can't get the state police to cooperate with the tribes. We can't get the tribes to cooperate with each other, or with, you know, this collaboration has got to happen. It's got to start, and it's got to stop. The issue needs to be solved now. If we come back again and we hear that, you know what, we can't get the people to work together to solve the issue, to come up with the answers to our problems, I don't know what step we take from here. The legislature, I believe, is doing everything that we can do, and it's up to you folks, if you're listening, and anybody in that position, it's time to step up to the plate and hit the ball. We can't continue to allow this to go on and then come back and say, well, we got to identify the problem. Identify the problem and let's cure it. With that, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Senator Small.
Yeah, thank you. It's kind of hard to follow that. He hit everything on the head, by all means. In this particular bill here, I really like this one. This was one of the, when we had created the task force in the 2019 session, part of their duty was to come back with a list of possible legislature that would help the situation, and this is one of them. And this particular bill, it's kind of a twofold deal. I mean, we're putting just a little money up front to get it going, but it has a ton of possibility, because these groups, once they're trained, they're able to go back home or go to reservation wherever. And it'll become a competent batch of people who are able to continue to train the people that are around them. And, you know, that's got so much benefit, it's just tough not to utilize it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Small. Any other discussion? Seeing none. Senator Weber, would you like to close on your bill? She closes. Question now rises on the motion of Senator Weber that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 36, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those who are in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Anybody wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 39 senators vote aye and 11 senators vote nay.
39 voting aye, 11 voting nay. House Bill 36 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 98. Clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 98, introduced by Stuart Paragoy, a bill for an act in Taranac extending termination of the Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force and the grant program it administers, clarifying information that the task force must report, providing an appropriation, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, to have before you House Bill 98. Senator Small, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 98, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 98 is an act extending termination of the Missing Indigenous Persons Task Force and the grant program that it administers. It also clarifies information that the task force must report. As we, I spoke of just a moment ago, this is still a continuing effort from the 2019 session, and we had put a lot of thought and work into the series of bills then, as well as the series we're talking about now. As the process has gone along throughout this session, we've refined a lot of what's happened, and we've improved upon what we already had existing. So I'll just kind of step through the bill real easily. So on page 1, lines 17 through 23, it tells you what the makeup of the task force is. Page 1, lines 24 through page 2, line 5, tells you what the duties of the task force are, and those have been amended into, and there's many more requirements than what we had previously had, which ultimately I kind of feel like it's a bit better bill now. So then we go to page 2, line 17 through page 3, line 11, and what that little section in there does, it's an improvement and change in the bill which requires a written report of the findings to be turned into the State Tribal Relations Interim Committee by July 1st before each legislative session. That way we have a chance to act on them a little bit, and it also outlines what should be in that report. And then last off we have section 2, page 3, which outlines the Looping In Native Communities Grant Program. And it speaks a little of that and just sets the outline forth. With that being said, I will sit. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 98, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote nay. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 41 senators vote aye and 9 senators vote nay.
With 41 voting aye and 9 voting no, House Bill 98 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, are now before you House Bill 35. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 35, introduced by Stuart Paragoy, a bill for an act entitled an act establishing the Missing Indigenous Persons Review Commission, establishing members' duties and confidentiality requirements, requiring remote meetings, establishing reporting requirements, providing an appropriation, and providing an effective date and a termination date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 6.
Members of the committee, you now before you House Bill 35. What is your pleasure, Senator Weber?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 35, that it recommend that the same do concur in it. Mr. Chair.
Senator Weber.
Mr. Chair, this is the third of the set that came out of the State Tribal Relations. This bill does have a termination date that it will end. It's establishing the Missing Indigenous Persons Review Commission. All the data that will be coming in will be going through this commission, and what they will do is they'll be examining the trends and patterns of missing Indigenous people in the state. They'll educate the public, law enforcement, policymakers about missing and Indigenous people and strategies to investigate, strategies for investigation and prevention, and it will recommend policies and practices to encourage jurisdictional collaboration and coordination and reduce the incidence of missing Indigenous people. The membership of this commission will not exceed 18, and they'll have to be appointed by the Attorney General. And if you look on page 2, and it shows on lines 11 or 12, this information to be reviewed is not limited to, it will include but not limited to information pursuant to section 6, which is below. And then why the person or persons went missing, whether the missing person report was filed in a timely manner, whether the person or persons remain missing, whether person or persons went missing from inside the exterior boundaries of an Indian reservation, and whether the complexities of the federal, state, local, and tribal law enforcement jurisdictions inhibited a timely and effective investigation of the case. And that's an LSIT.
Okay. Do you have any amendments?
Mr. Chairman, I move to amend House Bill 35, signed Senator Weber.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move to amend House Bill 35 with amendment number HB 0035004001.
Senator Weber, you want to explain your amendment?
Okay, Mr. Chair, on page 2, line 6, it said after video conferencing, I propose to put in whenever possible. Now, I've been on video, except for this week, and I'm coming back for the duration. And it was hard. I got to tell you, it was hard being in that little box over there, being alone, not being able to talk to people other than through the video conferencing. And to do this completely by video, I think it will lose the impact like I have with when I'm speaking to someone here and we're trying to get something or an idea across. And that's what this bill needs. It needs at least some contact. And so this amendment says whenever possible. You know, that it's just two little words. It says it must be held remote, meaning using audio or visual conferencing whenever possible. But these people do have to gather, and I know that for a fact. I've done that for, 6 weeks, and it's not a way to do business. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Discussion on the amendment. Senator Gross.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I was a part of the interim committee that brought this bill forward, and we modeled this bill off of two existing commissions, the Domestic Fatality Review Commission and the Native American Domestic Fatality Review Commission. Those are very select groups that take an inch wide, mile deep approach to looking at domestic violence deaths. And
take your conversations out in the ante room so we can hear Senator Gross. Senator Gross, proceed.
Thank you. And so what these teams do and what the team will do as proposed in House Bill 35 is collect and review information, including law enforcement reports, criminal histories, medical reports, pre-sentence investigation, newspaper stories, and team members interview members of the community. And then the really important part is once most of that process is complete, these teams travel to the community where the incident took place. And that is very important because there the team members can one-on-one interview individuals who have very important, relevant information, and they can put together a very accurate timeline, a more accurate timeline, by having these in-person interviews and getting to do all of that in the community where the incident.
Senator Gross, are you on the amendment?
Yes.
All right.
The amendment is, so I'm making the case for why this commission needs to meet in person, not strictly by audio video. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak in favor of the amendment. The sponsors talked to us in committee about it. We just didn't have time to put it on in there. I think our intention as a committee was to have most of the meetings done by video conferencing or Zoom, and then at least allow for some in-person interaction on site. And so I think that's what the intention of this amendment is, and I support it.
Thank you. Further discussion on the amendment? See none. Would the sponsor of the amendment like to close? Sponsors close. The question now rises on the amendment of Senator Weber on House Bill 35. As many in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Anyone wishes to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote. Clerk, read the...
Mr. Chairman, 39 senators vote aye and 10 senators vote nay.
Sorry about that. We have 39 voting aye and 9 voting no. The amendment, or 10 voting no, the amendment has passed. Senator Weber. Would you like to, any discussion on the bill? Is there any discussion on House Bill 35? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Weber that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 35, that it recommend the same be concurred. And those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. If anybody wishes to change their vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 39 senators vote aye and 11 senators vote nay.
39 voting aye and 11 voting no. House Bill 35 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 49. Clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 49, introduced by Beatty, a bill for an act entitled an act revising fees for documents submitted to county clerks for recording, increasing the per page fee and allocating the additional revenue to county and state land information accounts, amending section and providing an effective date.
Any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 49. Senator Boldman, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 49, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Boldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I want to share with you how I became the carrier of this fine piece of legislation. My dear friend, the chair of local government, I'm the vice chair, and one day when the bill was being heard, I walked out of the room. So I told him in exchange for his generosity, there will be a tab open at Jordy's after 5, and he'll buy you all a drink. So House Bill 49 is, and bear with me, it's at the request of the Legislative Finance Committee. It's a bill that proposes to increase a $1 recording fee charged by our county clerks, it's a user fee, to $2. The purpose of this fee is to adequately fund the Montana Land Information Program. That's our GIS system. So just to give you some background, the Montana Land Information Act was enacted in 2005, and we haven't raised the cost since. The state library is charged with administering the program. The bill had no opponents. It was supported by our cities and towns, by our counties, by our clerks and recorders, and by the timber industry, who apparently utilize and benefit from this GIS system often. And the only other thing I had to add, that the good sponsor of the bill, my friend from across the aisle who is from Hamilton, Montana, he wanted to remind the members of his caucus that this is not a tax, it's a user fee. So thank you very much. Oh, and I did wear green today, so vote green.
Okay. Is there a discussion on the bill? Or... Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, I was on that Legislative Finance Committee, but let's just say this is a fee. It's a user fee, but it hasn't been raised since 2005. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when this started, or let's call it 10 years ago, it was used about 250,000 times. Now it's used 30 million times. The amount of information that is needed within this system and the ability to upgrade the system and get the information into the system is desperately needed, because the library doesn't have a lot of funding. They've had to cut back on the ability to put that in. So this will help them tremendously to be able to offer a system that can be utilized significantly more by the people of Montana, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? I think this... Senator Bowman, do you close?
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, sorry. Trying to find you. Sorry. Looking online, looking around. Okay, the question now rises on the motion of Senator Bowman that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill number 49, that I recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Does anybody wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 38 senators vote aye and 12 senators vote nay.
38 voting aye and 12 voting nay. House Bill 49 has been concurred. And members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 220. Clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 220, introduced by Putnam, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing special districts to receive federal funding directly, amending section and providing an effective date.
Corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 220. Senator Esp, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 220, recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Esp.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, if you read the first section of the bill, it says federal funds designated to a specific county under this part, which is the section below, section 2, may go directly to a special district within the county. And then if you look on the bottom of page 2, it says the governing body may, by resolution, instruct the state or federal or applicable federal agency to put the money directly into the fund for the special district. So it's a simple bill. It's not mandatory. It's permissive for a county to direct the money directly into a special district.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
It's discussion on the bill. Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Esp that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 220, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those are in the favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Anybody wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 42 senators vote aye and 8 senators vote nay.
With 42 senators voting aye and 8 senators voting no, House Bill 220 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 268. Clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 268, introduced by Phelan, a bill for an act entitled an act revising special improvement district laws for sanitary and storm sewers, revising metropolitan sanitary and or storm sewer district laws, allowing a county to use a tax assessment to collect operational costs incurred or billed to a district and amending section.
Are there corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 268. What is your pleasure, Senator Esp?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 268, recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Esp.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 268 grew out of a situation in, I think, Dawson County. But what it simply says that if you're going to pay a bill for a service in a water and sewer district, or you're assessed an assessment on a water and sewer district, those two, at the request of the county commissioners, can be combined and put on your tax bill instead of having to pay two different bills every month for the same service.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the senator would like to close. Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator S. that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 268, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. If anyone wishes to change his or her vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting nay. House Bill 268 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, who now before you House Bill 198. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 198, introduced by Harvey, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to workers' compensation for burial expenses, increasing workers' compensation benefits paid for burial expenses, and amending section.
Are there corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 198. Senator Small, what is your pleasure?
Sorry, caught myself off guard there.
Messed up somewhere. Come on.
I got it. Yeah, don't bury this one. Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 198, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 198 is pretty simple. It increases the death benefit to Montana workers who are killed on the job, and it takes it up to $10,000. The last time the burial expense was changed was in Senate Bill 117, sponsored by Senator Fred Thomas. So it's been a little while ago. It was in 1999. The burial expense in 3971725 was increased from $1,400 to $4,000 back then, and it became effective July 1st in 1999. So that's quite a long time ago, over 20 years. And since then, everything's gotten entirely more expensive. This bill wasn't designed to be extravagant. It's supposed to just help out and give you a decent amount of money so you can actually accomplish what you're setting out to do. And I can assure you, I've dealt with a lot of funerals in this past year, and it's no small undertaking. There was a polling of the... all right, at least somebody got that. So... there was a polling of the Montana funeral directors in the state prior to them doing this, and the average cost of the funerals was around $11,000. So even at a $10,000 maximum benefit, it's still not paying for the whole thing, but it's sure a lot better than making your family pick up the bill. So, what's that? Oh, through workman's comp. Okay, thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of House Bill 198, that when this committee doesn't rise and report after having it under consideration, House Bill 198, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those who oppose vote no. The clerk will read the, excuse me. Those, anybody wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 45 senators vote aye and 5 senators vote nay.
With 45 senators voting aye and 5 voting nay, House Bill 198 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill, excuse me, members of the Senate, please be in order. Members of the Senate, you now have before you House Bill 232. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 232, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled an act providing confidentiality of personal information for state lottery games and sports gambling and providing exceptions for court orders.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now before you, House Bill 232. Senator Fitzpatrick, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Bill 232, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think an appropriate bill for St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully we'll get lucky here with this lottery bill. And just a disclosure, I am a former lottery winner, and I have won tens of dollars in the lottery. So, but all joking aside, this is a bill that allows people who win the lottery to have their privacy rights protected. Right now, when you win a lottery award, it's public, it's displayed openly, and there are examples of people being preyed upon after they win the lottery. This bill simply allows people to have that information protected and to be private so that they can enjoy their awards in peace. So with that, ask for your support of the bill.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 232, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, we have 46 senators voting aye and 4 senators voting nay.
With 46 senators voting aye and 4 voting no, House Bill 232 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 425. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 425, introduced by Schillinger, a bill for an act entitled an act extending the termination date for the crime victims compensation account amending section and providing for an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 425. Senator Boldman, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 425, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Boldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This is a bill at the request of my old friend from the House, our current Attorney General. He's asked for this modification. It's just a recognizes that crime victim compensation is an important resource for victims of crime, and he needs this to be modified. It passed the House 99-0. So let's give it a green.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Boldman that when this committee does rise and report after having into consideration House Bill 425, that it recommend the same be concurred. And those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed to the motion vote no. If anybody wishes to change his or her vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 50 voting aye and 0 voting nay, House Bill 425 has been concurred. And members of the committee, you now before you, Senate Bill 235. Clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 335, introduced by Vance, a bill for an act entitled an act prohibiting certain funds from being accepted or used for the purpose of conducting an election and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, now before you, Senate Bill 335. Senator Vance, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 335, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, we have a term that has been used in this building for quite a few sessions now, and this is a bill that actually addresses one of the aspects of that term, and the term is dark money in elections. There are a tremendous amount of nonprofit associations all across the country, all across the political spectrum as well, from really conservative to really liberal, who put together grant packages and put out the requests for proposal, if you will, from election administrators all across the country to see if they want to accept these grants and use this private money. And the problem that I have run into in looking into this a little is that for every one of these nonprofits who is more than willing to tell you where their money came from, there's another one who refuses, which in my world, that's the definition of dark money, is that they have money available, they want you to make use of it, and they don't want to tell you where it comes from. And so that's the whole reason for the bill. Thank you.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill? Senator Temple.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, speak to the bill.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and committee, this money that the counties apply for through grants and whatever, that's utilized to buy some of those expensive machines that are required by the state. Now, that money that comes down to the county commissioners are personally responsible for that. They're audited, and the money is not dark money. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, I think that the good senator behind me did speak to the importance of these grants and the fact that all of the folks who receive them are obligated to, you know, function within the laws they have, to be fully nonpartisan, to make sure they're upholding the election. And I think that he touched on that better than I can. But there is a bigger issue with this bill that I do want to touch on. If you pull it up on page 1, line 10, it says the state, the secretary of state, a county, a municipality, all these things, or officers or employees may not solicit, accept, use, or dispose of a donation in the form of money, grants, property, and this is the big one, personal services from an individual or corporation. And what I'm hearing from our county clerks is they read this as our county clerks and recorders and election administrators can no longer accept volunteers. They cannot accept donations of personal services at all. And I can tell you, if you talk to any of them, that there are some poll workers who get paid, but there's also a whole lot of people that are brewing the coffee for people. There are the parking attendants helping people get set up when they go to the polling locations. They're carrying ballots. They're counting ballots. These volunteers make our democracy work. And this is just a fatal flaw with a bill that already had a series of problems. So please vote no and make sure that our counties can continue to accept these important volunteers.
Senator McNally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad you could find me on the floor, too. It's pretty rare. I just want to speak to the bill. I appreciate what I think the good sponsor was trying to do, but I heard, and I looked at the bill. I'm not familiar. I haven't done any research into who some of these organizations are, but I heard from Yellowstone County Commission, our election officer, who I have great respect for, and talked about the fact that this is a real problem. He said that Yellowstone County saved $320,000+ last election cycle with some of these grants, and he doesn't feel it's a problem. We don't get money from the state of Montana to conduct elections. There are occasional grants, but nothing you can really count on. And he also said that in terms of dark money, that all these grants are available and public information and audited. They're available for audit. So I'm not sure it's a real dark money problem. So I'm going to oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator McNally. Any further discussions? Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just, add to the chorus. I've heard from our Gallatin County Commissioner, one of them, and he labeled this a disaster for our elections. So I would urge you to vote no on this. Thank you.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to speak on the bill.
Go ahead.
Members of the committee, I also oppose this bill. I wanted to share with you a couple other ways that elections can continue to be transparent and nonpartisan. I think these grant monies are critical because our election offices often struggle for adequate funding. I know that in 2020, my election office got a grant along with 28 other counties in the state of Montana, and none of them were found to be conducted in a partisan manner, and they were completely transparent. But I think a better way to manage this is to have county commissioners approve those grants, have oversight. They could set up an oversight committee. We all want nonpartisan elections, and we also all want transparent elections. And I just think there's better ways to do this other than banning money from replacing our taxpayer dollars in this process. Thank you.
Senator Heimbaugh.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, I have never seen Senator Vance have a bad bill, so I'm going to vote for it.
Very well. Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I don't know how much money's in this program that came in the last election cycle, but we have an opportunity coming our way that perhaps we could set up a trust fund somewhere to fund these sort of things in local counties, so they wouldn't have to rely on grants from private entities. Just a thought, Mr. Chairman and Senator Vance.
Thank you, Senator S. Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Senator Fitzpatrick.
Senator Fitzpatrick, will you yield?
Sure.
Senator Ellsworth.
Senator Fitzpatrick, personal services wouldn't, I'm just trying to understand this, you're an attorney, and professional services are two different things, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellsworth, they can be. I'm not familiar with the code here, so I can't say if there's a definition for one or the other, but generally they are.
Follow up. Mr. Chair and Your Honor, just to be clear, so a county elections official, if they have a volunteer that comes in to help them with their work, I just want to be clear, that is with their work, so that would be professional. I'm just trying to understand.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellsworth, as far as I know, but maybe Senator Vance can probably answer this a little better than I can.
If Senator Vance will yield.
Senator Vance, will you yield to the question?
I guess so.
Thank you. I'll be a green vote on this.
Okay. Is any further discussion? Senator Sweeney, do you want to? Your light's on. Go ahead.
Yep. I would like to speak to the bill.
Go ahead.
I also heard from two of my election administrators, clerk and recorders, and they also urged me to vote no, and so I'll be doing that.
Any further discussion on the bill? I see none. Senator Vance, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very briefly, Senator Esp actually hit at the heart of the issue, because there is government money that's available to help the different counties, municipalities fund their elections. And the other comment that was made is about all the auditing that is done. And that's true, it is. When these folks spend the money, they definitely have to account for where the money goes. But who doesn't have to account for the money is where it comes from. And that's the point of the bill. It's not who spends the money, but it's who donates the money and doesn't make it possible quite often for you as a county commissioner or as a county election official to know where the money came from. And that's the point of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Vance. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Vance that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 335 that recommend the same do pass. As many of us in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. If anybody wishes to change their vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 25 senators vote aye and 25 senators vote nay.
25 senators voting aye and 25 senators voting no. Senate Bill 335 has failed to pass the Senate. Members of the committee, you're now before you. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to indefinitely postpone Senate Bill 335.
Question now rises on the motion of Senator Smith. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Anybody wish to change their vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
Members of the committee, with 31 voting aye and 19 voting nay, Senate Bill 335 has been indefinitely postponed. Members of the committee, you now before you, Senate Bill 208. Clerk, read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 208, introduced by Cohenour, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing limited drawing refunds to be donated to the Hunters Against Hunger account and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and title?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now before you, Senate Bill 208. Senator Cohenour, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 208, it recommend the same be
Senator Cohenour.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is a bill that basically just came through our committee with strong support and a great amendment from the good representative Brown from our committee. What you'll find is that on the second page, it just allows for the any monies that you might have from a special permit, rather than having that be refunded to you, you can actually donate it. So we already have it on the books. You can see that on the second page. We have the allowance for it to actually go to block management already. What this does is open up to, and allow for you to make that donation to Hunters Against Hunger. That program actually takes these funds and pays to process game meat to be donated to organizations that need the food. And so there is no fiscal impact from this bill, mostly because they are just about ready to do some programming. It'll be a really quick and dirty little box that they can add to your permit that can say that if you don't get it, are you willing to donate? You just have to check the box, and then you won't get a $4 check in the mail that cost them $4 to generate. So this is a good taxpayer savings money, and hopefully we can get some additional funds in Hunters Against Hunger, which will allow for folks to have some additional assistance. Thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
It's a discussion on the bill. Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Konauer that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 208, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. If anybody wishes to change your vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
With 48 voting aye and 2 senators voting no, Senate Bill 208 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 20. Clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 20, introduced by Beard, a bill for an act entitled an act permitting the Department of Transportation to provide grants for courtesy cars at municipal and state-owned airports to appropriate third parties, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you're now before you House Bill 20. Senator Ellsworth, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report of and having under consideration House Bill 20, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ellsworth?
Mr. Chairman, this was by request of the Department of Transportation. So if you are a pilot or you happen to be a passenger of a private plane, sometimes you fly into our smaller airports here throughout the state, and there are courtesy cars, and they're provided typically by an FBO so that you could get to an appointment. Let's say if you were out of Hamilton and didn't necessarily have a spinal doctor there and had to fly into Helena, could fly in, use that courtesy car, make your appointment, bring it back. It's usually not a vehicle you keep overnight. And typically, these airports are very small, so they do not have rental cars, typically. So with that, I ask for a green light, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 20, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote. Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no, House Bill 20 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now before you House Bill 266. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 266, introduced by Homland, a bill for an act entitled an act revising license plate laws mandating issuance of a certificate of waiver to applicants with vehicles that cannot display a front license plate, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now before you House Bill 266. Senator Vance, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 266 that it recommend it be concurred in, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Vance.
Thank you. Members of the committee, this bill is a lot more simple than the one I had a few minutes ago. This basically deals with older vehicles, custom vehicles, vehicles that are not built to take a front license plate. Motor Vehicle thought that this was fine. They're going to create a little sticker that they put on the back license plate to identify that this vehicle, because of the fee they pay, and with the sticker, that they're exempt from having a front plate, and they're the only ones that are, and I would ask for a do pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Vance that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 266, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. If any member wishes to change his or her vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 voting aye and 0 voting no. House Bill 266 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now before you, House Bill 270. Clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 270, introduced by Buttrey, a bill for an act entitled an act revising driver's license requirements for spouses of active duty military personnel, clarifying spouse exemption of active duty military personnel from driver's license requirements, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now before you, House Bill 270. Senator Welborn, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill number 270, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Welborn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, what this bill does is affords any spouse of military personnel the same driver's license exemption as the active duty member in their family would have. There's really only two things probably that everybody needs to know about this bill. It's the right thing to do and where your green button is, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Welborn after having under discussion House Bill 270 that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. If any member wishes to change his or her vote, if not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no, House Bill 270 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now before you, House Bill 271. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 271, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to county roads, clarifying the procedures for adopting a county road, amending section, and providing an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now before you, House Bill 271. Senator Ellsworth, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 271, recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 271 is pretty simple. Turn to page 2. It says a road on a final subdivision plat that is dedicated to the public use is not considered a county road until the Board of County Commissioner approves by resolution the adoption of the road. So that was not clear in law before, and it's just been put in there, so we don't have people putting out a road and then saying, well, that's a county road. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, the sponsor wished to close. Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does rise and report.
I'm sorry. Senator Boland had her hand up to speak on the bill.
Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have little hands, evidently. I just wanted to ask the sponsor a question, if I may.
Sponsor, yield to a question.
Sponsor, will yield.
Senator Boland.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator. Do you know, with the amendments that were put on the bill, if they were okayed by the by MAKO and the other opponents that had come in before the amendments went on.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I mean, I see this as HB 271.2, so I would imagine there were some amendments put on there. I specifically don't know an answer to that question, so I can't answer that in totality.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll speak to the bill.
Senator Ballin, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, when we heard the bill and we voted against it, it was because there was one person that came in to testify for it. There were no opponents and no informational witnesses either. And after we had voted, my curiosity got to me, and I wondered why. It was pretty much a party line vote in the House, so I went back and I actually listened to the testimony. And when the bill was presented in the House committee, MAKO was opposed to it, as were a couple other people, because of the fact that there was a retroactive date on it on the very last page. That would have caused a lot of problems for the counties. It would have messed up a lot of work that they already have done on their county roads. So one of the representatives brought the amendment on page 3, line 4, that did away with the retro, and it also designated that because of the way the bill was written, that there would be lack of access to the property that either that you owned or was part of the subdivision, and you wouldn't be able to either sell the property or get a loan on it if you decided to buy it. So there was another amendment put on stating that it was to dedicate, the road was dedicated for public use. So now you've got access to the property. You can sell it if you want to. There was discussion about the commissioners, county commissioners, not wanting to maintain the roads, and that could be an issue or one of the reasons why they hadn't made a resolution to turn it into a county road yet, and if they would. So the people that actually own the plot are the ones that are maintaining it. So that being said, when I listened to that, it seemed a little bit clearer to me that the amendments made the bill better, and I was hoping that somebody else would have had listened to the testimony. And then after these amendments were put on, MAKO said that they supported it as well as did the other opponents. So I will leave it up to you how you want to vote, but I just have a different opinion of it now that I saw how the amendments went on. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellsworth, or
yeah, Mr. Chairman, to be a Senator Bowen, the amendments are on there, so I'm glad you agree it's a good bill now. Vote green. Thank you.
All right. Senator Aspen.
Mr. Chairman, I was going to say something similar to what Senator Ellsworth just said, but the road will remain a county road. I mean a private road, unless the county accepts it and dedicates it by resolution. So I think it's fine. It's great the way it is now.
Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth, after having under consideration House Bill 271, that recommend the same be concurred in. As many in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. If any member wishes to change his or her vote, not the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 38 senators vote aye and 12 senators vote nay.
With 38 senators voting aye and 12 voting no, House Bill 271 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 115. Clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 115, introduced by Regeer, a bill for an act entitled an act clarifying the approval process for land and water-related acquisitions by the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, requiring certain easements to be approved by the Board of Land Commissioners, and amending section.
Are there any corrections?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Sections?
Section 1.
Senator Regeer, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House amendments to Senate Bill 115, that it recommend the due concur. Mr. Chair. Members of the Senate, Senate Bill 115 dealt with easements and the land board. The bill passed out of here. And surprising, the House sometimes does come up with some good amendments. They have a good one here that is on line 22 and 23. The department shall inform the Board of Land Commissioners of the pending easement once it receives initial endorsement from the commissioner board. So it's letting the land board know right at the beginning of the process when an easement is being considered. I urge a do concur. Vote green.
Any discussion? Senator Jacobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak to the amendment here. Basically, I see this as taking a bad bill and making it worse. The bill itself has put in a layer of bureaucracy. It's created an additional layer for land acquisitions. And now we're not just saying land acquisitions, but we're also saying water. So I'd encourage a no on this. Thank you.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd have to agree with good senator from Great Falls. This makes a bad bill worse. We talked about this a month ago, or it seems like a lifetime ago. I mentioned at that time that this is bad for sportsmen. We've acquired tens of thousands of acres of land that provide access to sportsmen, and this is going to only serve to stifle that opportunity. It's also bad for landowners. Many, many landowners have used conservation tool very effectively to transition their ranches from the current generation to the next generation. And those deals are very complicated to put together. There's usually multiple entities that are funding those deals, and they can oftentimes take years to put together and get through the process to put the funding package together. And this just adds another level of uncertainty at the tail end of this. And the signal it's going to send to a lot of landowners is that I'm not going to enter into this agreement or into this discussion with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks because it's too darn hard to get to the final end when you got to jump through this additional hoop. So I hope that you will vote no on this bill. As I said, bad for sportsmen and women and bad for landowners. Thank you.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a very good amendment. Still makes a bill, a good bill. It's just something we've been doing for 25 years. Until 2018, all of a sudden, it seemed to be a problem that some of these decisions bypassed the land board. We did purchase tens of thousands of acres in easements doing the same process. Good bill. A lot of misinformation about this bill. Vote green.
Senator Kornhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is on the amendment. And now we're going to essentially add water easements to go to the land board. It's not a board that understands the need for dealing with in-stream flow and the need to maintain habitat for fish and wildlife. So adding these amendments to this bill did make it tremendously worse due to the fact that the land board is dealing with land, mostly land acquisitions and things that have to do with school trust lands, Why would they want to deal with water issues? That should be within the purview of the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, which is where it is now. And so adding water to it is just a complication that should not pass. I hope you'll vote no on these House amendments. Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion on the House amendments to Senate Bill 2115? Seeing none, would the sponsor would like to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Discussion seemed to get off of the amendments. That's what we're voting on, just the amendments. It lets the land board in at the beginning of the process to know what might be coming down the road. Vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 115 that recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed to vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
With 13 senators voting aye and 19 voting no, House amendments to Senate Bill 115 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 38. Clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
Senate Bill 38, introduced by Gauthier, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to recreational trail programs administered by the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, expanding uses of, authorizing a match requirement for, and providing for disbursement of summer motorized recreation trail grant funds, renaming the snowmobile trail pass as the winter trail pass, revising winter trail pass purchase requirements and revenue distribution, amending sections, repealing section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 10.
Members of the committee, you now before you the House amendments to Senate Bill 38. Senator Gauthier, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 38, I recommend the amendments as the House concurred in.
Senator Gauthier.
Real quickly, there was just a couple of things they checked administratively. If you look on the amendment itself, it just says on title line 12, following and insert immediate. And the next change they made was page 15, line 24, strike July 1st, 2021, and add a passage upon approval. That's it.
Any discussions on the House amendments? Seeing none, would the sponsor like to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Gauthier on the House amendments to Senate Bill 38 that recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no, the House amendments to Senate Bill 38 have been concurred in. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed to vote no. The ayes have it.
The Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, we are a committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate bills pass. Senate Bill 208 pass. Senate Bill 2335 indefinitely postponed. House amendments to Senate Bill 38 and 115 concurred in. House Bills 20, 36, 49, 98, 198, 220, 232, 252, 266, 268, 270, 271, and 425 concurred in. House Bill 35 concurred in as amended.
Senator McGovern.
I move the adoption of the committee report.
For the motion of Senator McGovern, the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member change his or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no. The committee of the whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator McGovern. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 76, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled to revise the captive insurance regulatory and supervision account.
Senate Bill 76, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 76 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 370, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Protecting Constitutional Rights During an Emergency.
Senate Bill 370, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 31 have voted yes, 19 have voted no.
31 senators haven't voted aye, 19 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 370 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 213, introduced by Keene, a bill for an act entitled Revised Apprenticeship Rules.
House Bill 213, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote. Senator Bogner.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, zero have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and zero senators haven't voted no. House Bill 213 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 254, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Revise the Wrongful Discharge Act.
House Bill 254, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 28 have voted yes, 22 have voted no.
28 senators haven't voted aye, and 22 senators have voted no. House Bill 254 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 282, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled Revised Labor Laws Relating to the Employment of Minors.
House Bill 282, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote. Senator Howard.
Mr. President, 33 have voted yes, 17 have voted no.
33 senators haven't voted aye, and 17 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 282 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 283, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled Revised Workers' Compensation Laws Relating to Student Interns.
House Bill 283, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, zero have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and zero senators have voted no. House Bill 283 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate House Bill 294, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled Revised Fees for Agriculture Seed Licenses.
House Bill 294, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, zero have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and zero senators haven't voted no. House Bill 294 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 373, introduced by Homeland, a bill for an act entitled Revised Natural Resources Operations Fund Provide Transfer.
House Bill 373, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 senators haven't voted aye, and 2 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 373 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 374, introduced by Homeland, a bill for an act entitled Amend Coal Severance Tax SSR Accounts Provide Transfers.
House Bill 374, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 senators haven't voted aye, and 2 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 374 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Joint Resolution 7, introduced by Knutson, a bill for an act entitled Joint Resolution Regarding the St. Mary and Milk River Project.
House Joint Resolution 7, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes, zero have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and zero senators haven't voted no. House Joint Resolution 7 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order of business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 49, sponsor Beatty, revised recording fees to support county and state land information accounts. Refer it to finance and claims. It exceeds the agreed upon amount.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 36, sponsor Shannon Stewart Paraguay, establish missing persons response team training grant program, to refer it to finance and claims. It exceeds the agreed upon amount.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. President, I move to refer House Bill 252. Primary sponsor Lou Jones, non-refundable tax credit for employee-paid education and trade professions, to finance and claims. That it exceeds the agreed-upon amount.
Without objection, so ordered. See no further motions. Without objection, we'll go to business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Aguirre.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 5 bills, 8 o'clock.
Senator Hoven.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will meet tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., room 405.
Senator Gothier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Local Government, right after the Senate floor session, one bill and two executive actions.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and Labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Natural Resources at 315, room 303. Thank you.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. State Administration, room 335, 3:05.
Senator Howard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Public Health will meet at 310. We got four bills.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education in about 10 minutes.
Okay. Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. President, Legislative Audit Committee will be considering performance audit requests for fiscal year 2022 in the post-session June meeting. Consideration information systems audit request will take place later in the calendar year. If you have any suggestions, please go down to audit and bring them down there, or you can email them. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, Section F of Appropriations, Section A of Finance and Claims, room 442, 8 o'clock.
Seeing no further announcements, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m., March 18th, the 54th legislative day.
You've heard the motion, Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on March 18th.